Doug Tyrrell, History and Comment is available on Google Podcast.
Hello, friends. I'm Doug Tyrrell. This is History and Comment for Wednesday, the 6th of March, 2024. The Islamic prophet Muhammad delivers what will be his farewell sermon on or about this day in the year 632. He was on a pilgrimage to Mecca and will fall ill a few months later and die at the age of 61. A couple of interesting points. He was about 40 when he started preaching a monotheistic theology, and for several years it was greeted with hostility by people in his home region of Arabia. It seems the native religion was polytheistic. How he came to this new ideology is of some debate. The official narrative is he had a visitation from the angel Gabriel, who delivered the Quran to him. I really do not like to go down conspiracy theory holes, and there is a big one surrounding Muhammad and how he came to have said revelations, and it makes some sense. If it were found to be true, it would alter the historical narrative in a very significant way. It would also give credence to the other major conspiracy theory of the past two millennia. The two are very closely related. The Missouri Compromise is signed into law in 1820. It allowed Missouri to enter the Union as a slave state and Maine as a free state. It will make the northern portions of the Louisiana Purchase free territory. We have lost sight of how contentious the politics were at the time. Both sides resisted any legislation that would give the other side an advantage. Several times we saw two states enter at roughly the same time, one free and the other slave, in order to maintain the narrow balance of power. Philip Sheridan is born in 1831. A military man, he became a major general in the Civil War and continued in a military career afterwards, rising to the rank of General of the Army. He was the top commander in the Northern Great Plains during the Indian Wars of the 1870s. His position toward the natives was complex. Some called it barbaric, and others claimed that it worked. He noted, "We took their land and culture, and they fought back. Who could expect anything less?" The Alamo is captured by Mexican forces in 1836 after a 13-day siege. It might be worth the time to have a lengthy discussion on the 1857 Supreme Court decision in the Dred Scott versus Sanford case. That decision was handed down on this day in 1857. The details of the case are not relevant, but more the politics behind the decision and the actual ramifications. Dred Scott was a slave, and the decision was 7-2 that black people did not have citizenship rights and therefore constitutional rights. The decision is considered the worst by the Supreme Court in its history in terms of judicial logic and activism by the court. Certainly there have been free blacks in the country since the colonial days. Yesterday we mentioned the Boston Massacre. One of the victims was Crispus Attucks. He was of mixed African and Native background. This was not an isolated case. In New England, free blacks were more common than in southern states. The sectarian divide was forming even before the country. Then there was the political maneuvering. President-elect James Buchanan wanted the court decision to go the way it did and was working behind the scenes to influence the outcome. The hope was that this would decide the slave issue and prevent a looming war. It had the exact opposite effect. It was greeted with unmitigated wrath in all regions of the nation, except the slave-holding states. In his dissenting opinion, Benjamin Curtis noted that at the time of the Constitution's adoption in 1789, black men could vote in 5 of the 13 states. We might want to note that the Dred Scott case has several parallels to the Roe v. Wade decision. The second point is that the Supreme Court has a history of being partisan and issuing bad decisions. Bayer registers aspirin as a trademark in 1899. With the stringent oversight on new drugs today, it's doubtful that aspirin would get approval. Yes, it has benefits, but also numerous side effects. Comic Lou Costello was born in 1906. He played the dim-witted partner to Bud Abbott in the famous Who's on First Skit. Some sources claim that it was just an act and he was in fact the comic genius of the pair. This might be a good time to mention I'm working on a future story. Go over to the History and Comment Facebook page and join in the conversation where I ask followers to name two or three famous entertainers, especially from the mid-20th century. While you're there, please invite your friends to follow along. President Franklin Roosevelt declares a bank holiday, closing all U.S. banks. This is in 1933 and near the depths of the Great Depression. The initial stock market crash was in October of 1929. There is a reasonable argument that Roosevelt's policies prolonged the Depression. 1945, during World War II, Cologne, Germany is captured by American troops while the Germans launch their last major offensive of the war. Actor Rob Reiner is 77 today. The one role of his that many folks will recall was as Archie Bunker's son-in-law, demeaningly known as Meathead. Somewhat related to our earlier comment about Islam, the organization known as the Nation of Islam has mostly been intent on stirring contention. In 1964, leader Elijah Muhammad gives boxing champion Cassius Clay a new name. It seems his given name was repressive, and Muhammad Ali is more liberating. Despite the fact his grandmother admired the namesake Kentucky legislator who held an anti-slavery position. Soviet leader Joseph Stalin's daughter defects to the United States in 1967. She approached the U.S. Embassy in India on an authorized trip there. Retired basketball player Shaquille O'Neal is 52 today. The Zapruder film is shown on national television in 1975, more than a decade after it was taken by an amateur photographer in Dallas as President Kennedy's motorcade passed by. Abraham Zapruder was in the crowd for the once-in-a-lifetime chance to see the president. He was filming the event with an 8mm camera on Kodachrome film. He took 486 frames or 26.6 seconds in what turned out to be some of the most famous film in U.S. history. It captured the assassination of the president. Jeff Bezos is named as the world's richest person in 2018 for the very first time. At the time, his net worth is reported to be $112 billion. That's History and Comment for the 6th day of March. I'm Doug Terrell. Now, go do something worth remembering.